Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. It is a great word. Oh, my. God has given us a great word. I had to give a sermon last month, in the month of May, and I preached this message of chapter 4. Mighty, 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 mighty women of God who are going through. We all are going through sometimes. And, you know, this morning early when I was working on this message, but this morning, this lesson, and all I thought about was when you go through, God will bring you through. He'll make a way out of no way. And the word that God gave me was the Lord God will supply all your needs. The Lord God will supply all your needs. Whatever you need, God will supply all your needs. All of them. What you need, God will supply. The Lord God will supply all your needs. Core. Because we all go through. We all are in need at some point in time in our life. And we need, sometimes all we need is a word. Other times we need God's grace. And the title that God gave me when I did my sermon was No Fear, Just Faith. It is well. Whew. No fear, just faith. It is well. Was my sermon when I did this message. Because God gives us testimonies. God gives us everything. You know, this woman lost her husband. I feel that. I know that story. I lost mine. I had two sons. I all have things in our life that we go through. And bills you got to pay. So I understood that widow. I lost my husband, my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's first cousin, 6 months apart. 2010 to October 2011, every 6 months was a loss. My mother-in-law died 6 months in 1 week from her son. 6 months, 7 days from her son. 6 months from her. Going to another funeral for her first cousin, who was like my husband's uncle. And, you know, folks think you're crazy when you say things like that, going threes, because it does happen that way. We got to pray up, stay prayed up, walk in faith, not in fear. Know that God will supply all our needs. He will not bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. You know, we have all these cliches, but understand that they all have a meaning. No matter what you're going through, God brings us through. Trust in the Lord and know that he will watch over you. Father God in heaven, I decrease as you increase. Lord God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. For I am an empty vessel, open to receive what you have for me to say. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. But Lord God, you are my strength and redeemer. I say every day, you are my strength and redeemer. But Lord God, you have given me an assignment, and I will do my assignment until you say, it is done. Lord God, lead me, guide me, show me the way that you want me to go. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you. I praise you. I lift you up. For there is none like you, Father. None like you. For you are everything to me. You are my way maker. You are my light in darkness. You are my hope. You are my dreams. You are my dad. And I am thankful that you have grafted me in as a daughter of the Most High God. For in you I live, I move, and I have my being. For I am nothing without you, Father. And I trust in you. And you will supply all my needs. Thank you this morning for this mighty word. And I thank you, Lord God, for your awesome and miraculous Son and my Savior Christ Jesus, who died for me, an imperfect being, working to make it into the kingdom through faith, through supplication, through hope in the future. I thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And when I say I can't do this without him, I can't do this without him. I am thankful that he woke me up this morning, clothed in my right mind. Hallelujah, because somebody did wake up today. Somebody didn't make it into this new day. Somebody didn't make it into this do-over. Thank God this morning that you are here, that you have breath in your body, that you have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak. For God is mighty in all things, and all we are his humble servants. So let's get into our word this morning. We are in 2 Kings chapter 3 through chapter 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 44. That is part of our Old Testament word. We are also in Psalm 71, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 9, and John chapter 17. So let's get started in our word. Please join me in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now Joram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal and his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them, Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elijah, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you?" I have to read that again. "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you, nor see you. But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician plate that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple manner in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came up out, came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck sword and have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it, and they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. But they left the stones of Kir-Haresh intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew sword to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place and offered him up as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land. Now, you know that's some sick old stuff. Offer his son up as a sacrifice. But he wasn't God. Come on now. He wasn't Abraham. He was a pagan who believed in child sacrifice. And it didn't have anything to do with the Most High God. It didn't have anything to do with salvation. It didn't have anything to do with faith. It was a sacrifice to a little g. Come on. And let certain women of the wives of the sons of the prophet called out. And now we are in chapter 4. And again, I like to say there are some words in the Bible that preach themselves. You know, so many times, pastors, we get into this, I'm going to preach a word, and then you get all into the word, and you're talking this, and you're talking that. You know, and there are those that are hooping, those that are hollering, those that are getting to a cadence of, you know, and God said this and he did that. When sometimes all you have to do is just read the word. As you all know, you are with me, many of you, every day. And all we do is read the word. And the word preaches itself. Full word of the book of 2 Kings. Preaches itself. It lets us know that God provides. It lets us know that whatever we need, that he will be there. We know that in this word, God has not left us. God has not forsaken us. God has always been there. You know, I was reading over my sermon. And one of the things when I said, when you lose, and I lost my husband, when you lose your husband, have a son in college, his tuition, house payments, car payments, and every other kind of payment you can imagine. Oh, and then you lose your job and have to retire early than you plan. The first thing the enemy throws up is at you is fear. And I just have to say this. I met a man, y'all. And his name was Jesus. And he taught me to stand on his word, which said in Joshua 1:5-9, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I say to you this morning, family, God is providing for you. God is watching over you. The Lord God will supply all your needs. He will supply all your needs. So let's find out about the Lord supplying needs of the widow. And speaking as a widow, this word touched me so hardly. It touched me, but I can say I met a man, y'all, and his name was Jesus, and Jesus brought me through depression, and he's still bringing me through. I tell you, God will bring us through whatever we're going through. He will bring us through sickness. He will bring us through everything. All you have to do is know that he is there and that the Lord God supplies all of your needs. And this is what the word says. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, 50 vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now it happened one day that Elijah went to Shunem, where there was a noble woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn and there eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lamp. So he will be wherever. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When she had called her, she stood before him, and he said to her, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And you know, when I spoke this sermon, you know, you only have so much time. And I only had so much time to deliver this message. So, of course, I couldn't take an hour like I do every day, 6 days a week. Every week, 6 days a week. I couldn't do an hour on this message. So I summed up chapter 4, starting at this point in the message. There was a woman. She met a man. This man gave her a son. Her son lived, and her son died. And her son lived again because she met a man. That's it. That sums it up. We're going to read about this man, and his name is Elijah, and he's a major prophet. And he has the Holy Spirit of Elijah, who he watched go into the chariot of fire. Hallelujah. Going, and it says this. You know, before the woman could say anything, Gehazi, which we'll find out a little bit more about him as we go through, said, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. Now, this is what the woman was saying. And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood at the doorway, and he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come to which Elijah had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother, get him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was that when the man of God saw afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now and meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. Now, excuse me, how you going to push her away when she is the one that gave this man of God a place to sleep, a place to lay his weary head, gave him food to eat, gave him anything that he needed when he came through Shana. But yeah, you going to push her away. Gehazi got some serious problem. Let's go. But Gehazi came near to push away, but the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord is hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? When he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you need anyone, do not greet. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched him out on the stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. And Elijah returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophet. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. So he said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. When a man came from Baal Shalisha, Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruit, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Shall set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, thou shalt eat and have some left over. So he set it before them, and they ate and had done, and some left over, according to the word of the Lord. And that reminded me, when I read this, of Jesus, when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000 men, he always had something left over. You know, from 2 fish and 5 loaves, you got leftovers after feeding 4,000, after feeding 5,000. You know, you got all this going on, and the Lord God did it. He supplied all their needs. Even poison stew he made safe to eat, supplied all their needs. Shulamite woman, son, born, lived, died, and lived again. Again, God will supply all your needs. Mother and 2 sons in debt. What happened? Oil in her house. And God, and what did the prophet say? Get as many vessels as you can get. And she got as many vessels as she could get till there was no more. And when there was no more, the oil stopped. Started off with a bottle of oil, and God gave her enough to get out of debt and live on with her children. I'm believing God for debt freedom. I will claim it. I'm not doing that name it, claim it nonsense, because that's not a God. I'm trusting God for debt freedom. I'm trusting God that his grace is sufficient for me. I'm trusting God that all that I need, all my needs will be met because I trust in him. You know, so many folks talk this prosperity nonsense. You got to go to work. What are you doing for God as you got your hand out? Do you help somebody else? Do you do things that you need to do for everyone besides yourself? I tell you this, God provides for his children. I'm believing him for miracles, signs, and wonders. Not because I'm naming it and claiming it, but because I trust my Father. And I know that my Father provides my needs. Just as my earthly Godfather did, I know my Heavenly Father can do more. Hallelujah. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We got to trust God in all that we do. And believe it and trust it and know that there is only one God, absolute. And he is not, I say this one more time, I don't want anybody getting it twisted. The Minister Bridget is out there naming it and claiming it. I'm going to get there. No. I know my daddy is not an ATM. I know he is not an ATM. You know, all the time that I ask for something, it just materializes. I know that it can. But I also know that there takes some work to do. You can't be asking God for anything with an unrepentant heart. You can't be asking God for anything with hate and unforgiveness in your spirit. You can't be asking God to give you new wine in your old wineskin. We need to be made anew through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Let's get into our song word this morning, and then we'll go back over all life lessons after we finish the scripture today. And it said, oh God, you have taught me from my youth. And this is Psalm 71, verses 17 through 24. Oh God, from my youth, And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. Now, oh, when I am old and gray-headed, I go, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. This is my testimony. And I am that gray-haired lady. Oh, God, I'm going to read it again. You have taught me from my youth. Thank you, Lord, for the Salvation Army Corps cadets, starting in my youth, learning this word and having to teach it amongst my peers, teaching Sunday school, doing what God, you called me to do, even as a youth. And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, tell me about it. Oh, God, do not forsake me. Declare your strength to this generation, your power to come to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, oh, God, is very high. You who have done great things, oh, God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again, and I believe that, and bring me up again from the depth of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, oh my God. To you I will sing with the harp. Oh, Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Hallelujah, because I lift my hand in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. We got to have a I love you, Jesus. In our spirit, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. There it is. As the song said, whoop, there it is. You can't be lazy and trying to do your work for God. You got to get up and go about the business that you have been called to do. John 17, verses 1 through 26. And our Savior is speaking. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. Did it say giving him authority over some? No. It says all eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you. Whew, he's speaking. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finish the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Did you catch it? Before the world was in the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning. There was a beginning. And Jesus just spoke from his own mouth that he was there in the beginning. What did he say? Oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out, form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. We better understand, as John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. We know that the Word is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and all yours are mine. I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And we are talking Judas Iscariot. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, though they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Y'all catching this? Jesus was always stationed of the world. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name, and will declare that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. What a mighty word of God. And we're going to go back to our Old Testament and hit some life lessons and life examples and what the Bible says from Dr. Charles Stanley. And for those that are just joining the Moving Forward experience, I am coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. And so that's why you don't hear the thems and the thous, the them and they. And no ifs at the end. is because I like New King James. It just makes it plain. Hallelujah, and I thank God for his word. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, what the Bible says about gagging on financial indebtedness. We all understand and know that this world is so full of debt, that people are full of debt. Because I want it now is the attitude so many have. And I can say I've had that attitude myself. God has chastised me. I have been spanked by my daddy that you got to have a I can wait attitude on a whole lot of things. I can wait until I can pay cash for it. I can wait until my daddy says I can get it. But we got to get out of the culture of indebtedness. Because this is what it says. The Bible leaves no doubt about God's opinion regarding debt. The following two verses speak clearly on the subject, a painful one for millions. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. The riches rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. And it says, as a nation, the United States has ignored these truths. One in five families in this country suck a bankruptcy. Millions of people are no more than 60 days away from becoming homeless, are in dire financial need. We are brought into a buy now, pay later philosophy that has been sold to us for decades by advertisers who tempt us to believe we must have their product in order to feel good about ourselves and to project an image of worth. We have swallowed a lie and we are gagging on it. A debt like a mortgage on a house to live in makes sense, but God does not want his people to be in unnecessary financial debt. The only thing we are to owe others is our love, which we are to give freely and in tangible form. The price for indebtedness can be high indeed. Listen to the heart's cry of a widow who said to the prophet Elijah, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And when you are in debt, you are making your children slaves. Anybody, I'm a firm believer in saving and in life insurance. Get life insurance. Don't leave your children out there if something happens to you and don't have insurance. There is nothing sadder than having to see GoFundMe pages to put somebody to rest. Get insurance. Ask God to give you the financial wherewithal to pay for their insurance so that your children don't have to deal with debt. So that your spouses don't have to deal with debt. So that your families are not having to deal. And this is what it says, the deceased husband of this woman, a prophet associated with Elijah, apparently had left his family in debt. The woman appeared to have only one way to repay what her husband owed, sell her children into slavery. We may protest, how horrible, how could a parent sell her children to work off a debt? And yet that is exactly what we in the United States are doing, in strapping our children with huge national debt. In just a few decades, we have gone from being the world's largest creditor nation to debtor status, and our children will be forced to pay for our foolishness. We are to be givers, not borrowers. You know, that's a word for us all, for me, for you, for all of us. We are to be givers, not borrowers. We got to ask God, Lord, forgive our debt. And, you know, just as the word says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We got to ask for the forgiveness of financial debt as well as spiritual debt. We got to ask God to forgive us as we forgive others. Because so many times we get caught up in the cycle of poverty, and it's not of God. I don't believe God wants his children to be in debt. I don't believe that. We got to pay it off, pay it forward, and know that our Father God provides, and I believe in him for provision. I am. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2, what shall I do for you? And these are life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And it said, God loves to take our nothing and make it into something that takes our breath away. Elijah's command may have seemed silly to the woman, but she obeyed, and God blessed her obedience. God loves to bless his obedient people with gifts far beyond anything they could ever hope for or imagine. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20. 2 Kings 4:20. And we're going to go to verse 4:20. And it says, when I find it, I'm looking up the whole thing because it only gives a smithering and we need the whole word. And I'm just going to go. And it says, when he had taken him, but I'm going back. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Life is never an unbroken string of joyful blessings and extraordinary miracles. We live on a fallen planet where bad things happen. Yet God calls us to trust him with the end of the story as well as it is as its beginning. Again, the beginning. She met a man. He blessed her with a son. Her son lived. Her son died. And her son rose again. Why? Because she met a man. And we have to understand that God blesses us even in our deepest pit that we can be in. Psalm 71:24, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. That's my testimony. While faith is a deeply personal affair, God never meant for it to be a solitary affair. We usually love speaking about what gives us joy. If God is our joy, then he should also be our tongue. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak on the Most High. I'm going to speak this word until I can't speak anymore. As long as God has given me the assignment to read his word, I'm going to read it over the airways until he calls me home. He tells me to do something else. But until God says it's done, I'm going to be right here reading every year the word of God from beginning to end so that the word is meditated on day and night. Hallelujah. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life comes by knowing and being connected to the source of all life, God. Through faith in the risen Jesus, the life of Christ fills us and unites us forever with the Father. Romans 8:11. John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus began his prayer for us way back in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. We have trusted in Jesus through the word of the apostles. And this prayer of his is therefore for us. John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me when I am, that they may behold my glory, to be with me where I am. Jesus wants us to be with him where he is and to see the majesty and splendor that belonged to him even before he left heaven to fulfill his ministry on earth. Jesus wants to share his glory with us. And I say to you this morning, as we read a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, we got to have faith. We got to know that the Lord God will supply all of your needs. You've got to know he will supply all your needs. He will be there for you in the dead of night. When you're crying in the middle of the night, understand that comfort that you feel is the Lord God. Hallelujah. God says, I will always be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. We got to stand on his word. Not only stand on it, we got to believe it. We got to trust it. And we got to know that he is God and he loves us. And as we go here, it says, good morning. What looks like a setback is oftentimes a setup for you to come up. Keep trusting God. Have a terrific Tuesday is what our sister in Christ has said. And I'm going to say it again because it fits so well with our lesson this morning. What looks like a setback, woman having to possibly sell her sons into slavery to pay off her husband's debt, is often time for a setup. A man of God coming and said, pour the oil. Hallelujah. A woman loving God enough to give a prophet a place to lay his head, giving a son that lived, a son that died, a son that lived again. Set up for you to come up. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. That is all I have this morning. I thank God for each of you. I thank you for listening in this morning. Let's keep moving forward with God. Join me again for a word from the Lord on tomorrow. God willing, we will be in 2 Kings chapter 5 and 6. We will also be in, again, I say God willing, 2, 1 through 7. Proverbs 18, verses 10 through 11, and John chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. So thank you all so much. I praise God. I give him honor. I give him glory. And I thank him for his mighty word. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. For God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. And I say to you one more time, the Lord God will supply all of your needs. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. I love you. I thank God for you. And I ask him to continuously watch over you. May his angels of grace and mercy cover you all day long in your going in and your coming out as you are covered by the blood of Jesus from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Keep trusting in the Lord and be blessed around. Join me tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. Have a blessed day.